I'm glad to be back with you again this week as we continue our study on the end times. As you recall, last week we were talking about the judgment seat of Christ, and we recall also that this is not whether we're being judged to go to heaven or hell. That's at a different judgment seat called the Great White Throne Judgment Seat, and that's for the unsaved, unbelievers. But this event will take place after the rapture. It'll take place during that seven-year period in heaven while the tribulation is taking place here on earth. Then up in heaven, the saints of God will receive their rewards for the life that they lived, representing our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth as one of his children, or the Bible calls an ambassador for Christ in this world. And we understand that we will not be judged for the wrong things at this point, because our sin has already been judged on Calvary. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins, so our sins will have no bearing on eternity for us. That was already paid for. But our sins do affect the things that happen to us in this lifetime. The Bible talks about the law of sowing and reaping, and we sow to the flesh, we receive corruption and so forth. And then we look at the life that we're living here, and it could affect our rewards in heaven. And so we're continuing on with this and looking at the Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. We're talking about a purpose now of the Bema seat, or the purpose really of the conduct we should have in this world. In 1 Corinthians 4, 2, it tells us, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So one of the requirements of a steward is faithfulness. You know, I'll explain this, but you can't have somebody in charge of all that you own and they're unfaithful to the responsibility and their duty. No one would do that. As a businessman, if I were a businessman, I wouldn't put all of my belongings or my business in charge of somebody who can't show up for work, who can't do the things that I've asked them to do, and just kind of haphazardly complete the task, or not even complete the task actually. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You know, one of the things that we need to steward is that of God's grace, God's goodness, God's unmerited favor towards man. We have to steward that well. We ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful for every blessing that we receive in life. You know, the warm weather, the sunshine, the rain that falls, the jobs that we have, the belongings that we own, and the clothes on our back, and the food in our homes. We need to be thankful for our health. We need to be thankful for our family that we have. These are the good graces of God. God giving us things that man doesn't really deserve, because we're awful sinners and we're wicked. Our heart is deceitfully wicked, the Bible tells us. Now, in the New Testament world, a steward was a manager of a large estate. He was appointed by the owner and entrusted to keep that estate running smoothly, and he had the power to hire and fire and to spend and to save, being answerable only to himself alone. He didn't have to answer at all. His only concern was that periodic meeting with his master, at which time he was required to give an account of the condition of the estate up to that point. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes that's what church does for us. You know, we attend church, we listen to a sermon preached, and an invitation is given at the very end of it. And sometimes we are given an accounting to Christ at that time. Not a final assessment of everything, but how things are running right now. How are we living our life today? And thank God we have these periodic appointments, because it helps us to maintain good stewardship. It reminds us of the things that we are responsible for and what God has left in our hands. And so for having these invitations is an awfully good thing, I think, for all of us, because it causes us to think of where we're at, and we can repent if we are doing things unfaithfully, and we can turn around and come back and do the stewardship faithfully that the Lord has given us. You know, with this background in mind, you know, it may be said that someday at the Bema seat or the Bema judgment, that all stewards will stand before Jesus Christ and be required to give an account of the way they have used their privileges and responsibilities from the moment of their salvation. In the past, God dealt with us as sinners. But in the present, God is dealing with us as sons. And in the future, God deals with us as stewards. Now, I'm talking going from being a sinner, an unsaved person, now to a born-again believer or a child of God, but now we'll be looked upon as stewards. God gave us so much. What have we done with it? You know, we have been blessed tremendously, and I thank God that I live in America. I thank God that America was founded on Christian principles and on the Word of God itself. It's the only country in the history of the world that's ever been founded on the Scriptures, on the Word of God. And God has blessed this nation immensely. And we've prospered immensely, and God has honored us because we have been faithful to honor Him. And He's given us very much in this world, the world in which we live in. And I'm glad that I can be part of a group of people that want to be faithful in stewardship. You know, we have a wonderful truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I'm able to be part of a people that want to get the gospel out so others may know how to be saved and how to go to heaven. I'm thankful that we're part of a missions program, that we're not only reaching our community, but we're reaching out to an entire world through our missionaries in which we're supporting, that they may get the gospel out also to the entire parts of the world. You know, one day we're going to be accountable. One day we're going to have to answer. And I'm glad that, yeah, as believers, we can have a part in this wonderful work that God has given us. God has blessed us. God has financed us. And He asks from us in return to be faithful with those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and that fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. God classifies the works of the believers into one of six areas in verse 12. We do not know which works constitute gold and silver, but we do know that they can be broken up into two areas. One area is that those indestructible, worthy objects which will survive and thrive in the fires, gold, silver, and precious stones. Then there's another area, those destructible, worthless objects which will totally be consumed in the fires, wood, hay, and stubble. You know, it's difficult to know just what goes in to make up that golden work or what makes up that stubble work. We are nevertheless informed of some of the general areas in which God is and particularly interested in which we ought to pay attention to also. And I want to go through a list of some of those. I won't complete them during this broadcast. I'll continue on again next week with this. But there are some areas which you and I ought to be aware of and pay attention to. Now, one of those areas is how we treat other believers. Yes, that's important to God. He wants us to, as a family, to care for one another and help one another and be a blessing to one another. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You know, one of the great requirements that the Lord is looking for as being a steward is ministering to one another, ministering to the saints, encouraging, helping, uplifting, praying for, visiting when they're sick, helping them when they're in need. And this is family. And God said, I want you to love one another. I want you to help and encourage one another in this. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41 and 42, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. God is very interested today in the treatment that we have of one another. I know in this world that we live in, there's a lot of different religion, a lot of different faiths. And I think in those different faiths, not in all, but I think they're saved people. And you say, preacher, why do you say not in all? Because there are some that teach that good works will get you to heaven. And of course, that's not even biblical. That's not true. There's no way to go to heaven by just working well. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. In God's eyes, we fall terribly short of that. And so we look at this and we realize that we meet people in all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of churches they might go to, but they confess Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, even though they don't attend our exact local church that we attend, we ought to be kind to them. We ought to be considerate to them. We ought to minister to them if the case be. Now, another area in which God is interested in is how we exercise authority over others. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, we are told there, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. You know, as having authority, whatever place it might be in, whether it's a pastor of a church, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, whether it's a mom or dad, a grandparent, whether it's a school teacher or a police officer, or maybe a city official. Those are places of authority that God has allowed men to have. He put them there. You know, and there's a lot of places where even unsaved men are in political offices, but God put them there. Now, they have a responsibility, the Bible says, of how they watch for their souls. It's very important that we care for one another's souls, not only in the area of salvation, but in their life and their makeup and trying to help them through life, not to use people, not to step on people, not to manipulate people, but we're there to help them. You know, we've been given a great opportunity of influence, and so therefore we must realize that we will be accountable one day because of that. James chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You know, I understand as a pastor of a church, I pastored for 24 years now, and I've pastored many people, and some don't even attend to the church. I still seem to pastor them. And I realize that one day I will stand before our Lord Jesus Christ and I'll have to give an account of my authority as a pastor I had in a spiritual way over people, what I've taught, what I've preached, what counsel I've given. And that's a frightening thought because as a preacher, we preach many times, we counsel more often than we even realize. And there's an accountability to that. As a mom and a dad, your responsibility is to make sure your children get saved. Your children learn of God and know of God and how to glorify Him and live for Him. You know, mom and dad, it's your job. And just because you're upset and maybe you've gotten away from it, what I mean by it, I mean the Christian faith, the Christian walk is still a responsibility of yours to make sure your children have that opportunity. This past recent while, I visited with my wife a young lady that visited our church, attended our church, and I was told ahead of time that one of the parents was saved, but wanted nothing to do with God whatsoever. Didn't want to talk about them. And when they arrived at the door, I introduced myself, introduced my wife, and I didn't realize really that even the age of the young person that we were visiting that day. I thought they were a little bit older, but I was mistaken. They were a teenager. And the dad kind of glared, and I didn't know where it was going to go from that point on, but he allowed his daughter to step out and talk to my wife and I, and my wife carried the conversation with her. And as we got talking, we realized that she didn't know the Lord as her Savior and shared the gospel with her, and she very excitedly received Jesus Christ, her personal Savior. You know, we got to be careful about things and work through things. We have an awesome responsibility in life to be able to answer people or answer God one day for the things that we're doing and the authority and power that we have. But I think another area that God is looking at is how we employ our God-given abilities. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands." You know, God is telling us that he's given us gifts. And he goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, "Now therefore are diversities of gifts, but of the same Spirit." Now there are diversities of gifts, but of the same Spirit. God has given people throughout this world gifts, his children, not the unsaved, but his children. He's given gifts to them. And they're all come from God, all from the same Spirit. In chapter 12, verse 11 of the same book, it says, "But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." You know, not only does God give a gift, but God gives other gifts, not just one, that he wants us to use. You say, "Preacher, how are we supposed to use it?" Well, ultimately, we're supposed to use it for his honor and his glory. Now, we can benefit. It can benefit us in life, but it's meant to be used for him. You see, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 tells us, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." God has been very good to us, and that's what his grace is. He extends that out to us. And we are to minister these gifts out. You know, unfortunately, I've met people in the past who God has given gifts to, and they turned away from God. They've used these very gifts that God had given them to minister to others and even minister to a lost world, and they've used them only for themselves. They may have had the ability to speak well and to influence people well, and they used that in a wonderful way in leading people to Jesus Christ and people getting saved. But then something happened in their life and they backslide and they get away from God, and they go on with these gifts that God has given them, and they use it only for themselves. They benefit themselves. They become superb salesmen. They make enormous amounts of money, and they begin to live for themselves. You know, it's a frightening thing that alone is what we do with that gift. I watch many people, even in the world today, they don't understand the abilities they have, and they seem so frightened to use them for God. But God expects that. God wants full surrender of our life, and he wants us to surrender those gifts back to him that we've given him. You know, there's going to be an accounting one day. We will stand before him, and we will have to give an answer for how we use these gifts he's given us. But I want to touch on just for a moment, very quickly, how we use our money. I believe that's a very important thing to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, it tells us, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I want to mention here that we see the word eternal, and of course we understand that that means forever. The word everlasting we see in the Bible, it means forever. And you look at the Bible and you say, why does God interchange eternal and everlasting? Well, I want to explain that there's also another understanding to the word eternal. It's talking about quality. It's talking about a quality of life that God gives the believer in him. Not only does it last, a life that lasts for all eternity, but it's also a quality of life that we can have here in this world right now. And the Bible says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. It's not talking about doing good works with your money to get saved and have eternal life, but it's talking to the saved. It's talking to the born-again believers, telling us that we can have a quality of life by obedience to God and by the blessings that will come in our direction, come our way. And so the Lord speaks here about riches, talks about finances. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6, chapter 9, and verse 6 and 7, it tells us, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now God wants us to give of the wealth that he's provided and blessed us with. Now this is beyond the tithe. The tithe is still a New Testament command. Some people believe that because it's not mentioned as a command in the New Testament, that is forgotten, and God doesn't expect that, but the tithe is still God's. You know, Jesus talked to the Pharisees about that. You tithe mint and rue. And then he goes on to say, this you should do. It's a good thing. He said, continue to do that thing. And so he's talking about here about giving, about helping, about using your finances, your money, the things you have for the help of people and for the work of God. God loveth a cheerful giver, not one that gives begrudgingly and being forced into it, manipulated by someone to give, and or even threatened with their salvation to give, which I've heard taught at times. It's unfortunate that people don't understand that money is simply a tool. People have turned around and made money a god. They worship it over the true and living God. They worship the blessing instead of the blesser. And we need to get things in perspective and get things right in our thinking and get them right in our life. You know, God wants us to sow bountifully, that we may reap bountifully. What are we going to reap? The blessings. So many things God has in store to give us, and people want to oftentimes see it up front first, but that's what we do by living by faith. We do the things God wants us to do because by faith we walk, not by sight. And those who choose to walk by faith and not by sight, they receive blessings and joy and happiness. And they receive these at the hand of God because they were faithful stewards of what God had given them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. You know, God expects in the first day of the week, and that's when we meet on the Lord's day, is it that we give the tithe. And it's the responsibility of the local church and the pastor and the deacons of that church to wisely handle that money as an investment in eternity, an investment in the souls of mankind, an investment in the work of God. And we need to look into our Christian life and realize that this is a life of faith, not of sight. We trust God. As long as we're obedient to God, God will bless us. And we hope to see you back or have you back listening to the broadcast next week, but we sure encourage you to come out and visit with us. We'd love to have you stop by and say hello to us. It'd be our honor to have you as a guest this coming week. God bless you.